This is the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, the podcast for small law firms who want to create a thriving legal practice. Each week, we'll uncover the ways that you can improve your referrals, your marketing, and your business operations, helping you to generate more revenue and elevating your life and your law practice. In each episode, we'll tap into some of the closest guarded secrets from industry titans, thought leaders, and legal specialists. We're glad that you've tuned in. And once again, it's time to help you become an ultimate attorney. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Ultimate Attorney Podcast. My name is Dre Redfern.
And this is Alexis Neely.
And this week, I want to touch on a topic that we've seen a lot lately with attorneys who, you know, they've reached the end of the first quarter of the year and they had all these amazing and awesome ambitions and they laid all of these goals out. And they had this, you know, awesome framework or plan in mind, but then somewhere along the way, something fell flat, something broke. And now here they are after the end of the first quarter, and they're wondering what the heck went wrong. So in this episode, I want to touch on the five things that we've been seeing over the last year or so on why attorneys are not actually reaching their goals. So the first one is information overload. So there is attorneys and really everyone these days is pulled in 1,000 different directions, whether it's the Instagram notifications or the email stuff, or you're getting pinged from something else or dings or vibrations or whatever it is, you're pulled in 1,000 different directions. And it really makes it difficult to sometimes cut through the noise and really establish what is real, what is theory, what works and what doesn't. And so when it comes to information overload, one of the things that really highly recommend is really getting clear on, you know, what the purpose is that you're actually driving towards. What is the actual goal? And finding someone who's actually credible, who's actually done it and actually has success. So in this instance, in order to combat information overload, cutting through the noise, you can turn to someone like myself or someone like Ali to actually allow you to really have proven systems and strategies that can work for your law firm to actually level up instead of constantly wondering what that next best solution may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the information overload is a big one. And one of the best ways that I have seen to cut through it, like you just said, and in fact, like we talked about in the last episode with networking, is have clarity of your intention. If you're going out there and you're looking for information or information is just coming into you, what exactly are you looking for and why? What is the solution that you want? In my experience, most lawyers simply want clarity around how am I going to make a great living serving my clients in a way that I can feel really proud of and have plenty of time for my family. I think that pretty much sums it up. If you're out there looking for help in any area, if you're searching the web for information about your law practice, you probably are doing so because you want those three things. You want a great living, you want to serve your clients in a way that you really believe in, and you want to have plenty of time to enjoy it all. And to be able to have that, it really comes down to you knowing exactly how much money is a great living. What is enough? How much is enough for you? What does it really mean for you to serve your clients in a truly meaningful way? Like, how would you know that you are serving your clients in a truly meaningful way? What would be the signposts for you? For our lawyers, one of those signposts is that they get massive appreciation from their clients. They get gifts and thank you notes, invitations to family events. That's how they know that they're really doing a great job and that feels really good to them. And then the third piece that you want to have intention on is how much free time do you want and how much time do you actually want to be working? And when you know those three things, then you can go out and start to seek the solutions that will solve the right problems that you have in your practice. It might be that you're actually making plenty of money, but your time is completely overloaded because you've hit it's time to go to the next level in your own practice model and start bringing on staff. If that's the case, then you need to get help with bringing on staff or systems, technology, leveraging technology. But meanwhile, you might be out there, you know, looking for marketing help because you think that you need to make more money. But actually, maybe you're already making enough money and it's time now to free up your time. Or vice versa, you know, you might find that you're not making enough money. So again, you're out there looking for help with like practice management, but maybe you're not even ready for practice management systems. Maybe instead you just need to learn how to engage clients consistently, predictably, and steadily, where you've got that steady stream of clients coming in. So knowing clearly what your issue is will allow you to be searching out not the right information, but the right solutions to the problem you actually have.
That's exactly it. That helps you cut through a lot of that information overload. And the next thing we see so much of, because it's really easy to peddle, is tactics versus strategy. Now, first off, what is the difference? Well, strategy is the high level concepts in your business. It's the high level strategy, the operational capacities that allow your business to succeed. Tactics are oftentimes the day-to-day inferences or activities or things that you do in the business to get from point A to point B daily. Well, here's the thing. Most attorneys, most business owners want to focus on the tactics because it's way more sexy. So for example, it's way cooler to talk about like, well, how can I get an additional 50 or 100 followers on Instagram? Or how can I get more page likes? Or how can I get more opt-ins? Or how can I get more leads? Or all of those things in your business. Very, very much tactical instead of having a strategical outlook. Well, if we got these amount of opt-ins or likes or whatever whatever your metric may be, that will result in what high-level goal for the business. Well, when you look at this from a high level, then all of a sudden you can see, well, maybe this tactic or this Facebook thing or that direct mail thing needs to be done a different way to have more impact or more presence in your market to generate leads or improve your business. But most attorneys don't want to take that step back. And so the way that I usually refer to this as is, so many attorneys are like boots on the ground. They're like, I want to market. I'm determined. I want to grow this law firm. I'm going to market. But they're unsure which way to go. And if they're in a downtown urban environment, you can only see, you know, up in front of you and you can't see around that corner. Whereas if you were to say, I'm going to market, but I'm going to go up. I'm going to take this elevator 30 stories up in the air and I'm going to look over the top of this building. I'm going to see all of the ins and outs and maybe the best method to go and look at this at a higher level picture. It gives you a lot more benefit and strategy to understanding how each of those tactics play into this giant thing. It's essentially tactics are the puzzle pieces. The strategy is the puzzle in and of itself. And so many attorneys want to focus just on the tactics without looking at that bigger picture, mm-hmm. the strategy. So highly, highly recommend that if you're stuck and you've hit a wall and you're stagnating in your practice, take a step back and look more into the strategy and less on the tactics side of things.
Yeah, really only execute on any tactics. Really only hire anybody to help you with any tactics once you have gotten clear on what is the strategy I should be using. And again, to me, it's based on exactly what I just said. How much money do you want to make? What is truly fulfilling practice look like for you? And how much free time do you want to enjoy it? One way that you can start to look at strategy yourself without having to hire an expensive strategist is if you go through my Money Map for Lawyers program. It's free. It's at moneymapforlawyers.com. And you will get clear. You'll start to get clear on the overarching strategy for your law practice. How many clients do I want each month and at what average fee to meet my personal, financial, and time goals? Once you know that, then you can start to work backwards into what are the specific tactics that will get me to my goals with that clarity that you need.
So I agree with all of that. Number three on one of the major five things that are stopping attorneys are time constraints. So what is a time constraint? Well, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. And we've talked about in previous episodes on how to manage your calendar and effectively control your day. Yet, so many attorneys don't necessarily do a good job at managing their time. And so what ends up happening here is if you don't adequately manage your time, you don't protect your calendar, you don't do all of the things that we've already told you about before, then you essentially end up creating fewer and fewer leverage points in your business where you can maximize your revenue while minimizing the amount of time that you actually spend on a given case or project or whatever it may be. And so what ends up occurring, if that's the case, is you end up being on this six-figure hamster wheel and you just stay there and you're working and you're working and maybe you're working 50 or 60 or 70 hours a week and you're making the same amount of money that you were a year or two or 3 years prior. That's often because most attorneys do not actually take that step back. They don't reallocate their time. They don't, they're not looking at the strategy to then realize, oh my gosh, if I were to create A, B, and C, I can work less and I can make more. Yet there's that still old, like highly talked about, you know, if we work more, we're going to make more sort of concepts, which we are desperately trying to break in the field of law. And you can do it. You've just got to realize that you need to reallocate some of your time and remove some of those time constraints that may exist inside of your practice.
Yeah, absolutely. And really understanding how much time you have available, or I should say how little time you have available to serve your clients so that you can be charging properly for your services is critical. I see so many lawyers who have underestimated how much or how little time they really have available to serve clients if they are in private practice, because we've got in our mind this idea that if we're working for a big law firm, we should be billing 2,000 or at minimum 1,600 hours a year. Yep. And if you are in practice for yourself, it's just not possible, because you're not just serving your clients. You're also doing the marketing. You're also doing the sales. You're also doing the admin. You're also doing your continuing education. So serving your clients, especially if you're a solo, if you've got a team and you're leveraging, that's another thing. But if you're a solo, then you are simply not going to be able to bill 1,600 to 2,000 hours a year and survive. You will be completely and totally overwhelmed. You're very likely undercharging for your services as a result of that. And how can you possibly achieve your goals if you're dying from lack of time?
That is actually the perfect transition to number four, which is operational and organizational inefficiencies. Yeah. So I have yet to ever talk with an attorney or open up the hood on their practice and really find where organizational and operational inefficiencies do not exist. They're everywhere and they're rampant in the field of law. And I think a lot of this can be attributed, we'll place blame on the ABA, because the ABA has done an amazing job and law schools of training up attorneys and teaching them how to be amazing attorneys and know the law. But when it comes to the ongoing education and training of attorneys to run successful and profitable legal businesses, and as you know, there's a big difference between being an attorney and running a legal business, that's where those organizational and operational efficiencies just can create massive holes that either bleed money inside of your business or are basically stopping you, or you know, hitting that plateau in your practice and stopping you from leveling up. And they exist everywhere. So that could be cash flow issues. That could be hiring issues. That could be time management issues. That could be lead gen issues. That could be consult issues. I mean, there's literally every facet of the business needs to be under a microscope oftentimes, especially when you're starting out, to realize what is working and what is not. Now, here's the thing. Everything that I just mentioned are all topics that we've already covered on previous episodes of the Ultimate Attorney Podcast. So if you're thinking that you have a hiring issue, or maybe you have a team building issue, or maybe you have a lead gen issue, we've already covered all of those in previous episodes. So if that's an issue inside of your practice, I encourage you to go back and listen to some of those episodes again, because Allie and I have already covered them pretty in depth, I think.
Yeah. And you know, these issues get even bigger as you grow. So we work with one lawyer who a year ago was just starting out in her law practice, decided to go out on her own after working for a big law firm and do estate planning, which is what we taught her to do, and to do it with our systems and, you know, all of our processes in place in her practice. She's on track to hit $750,000 of revenue this year. And her biggest challenge now is exactly what you're talking about, Dre. It's the operational challenges of growing so fast, hiring a team, managing her cash flow. You might think that all your problems would be solved if you just get the money coming in. Well, then you get $60,000 a month coming in and you realize, whoa, you've got a whole other set of problems, because you have to learn how to manage all that money. And you have to learn how to manage the team that is necessary to support the clients that you're serving in order to bring in that $60,000 a month. I think that for her, she's averaging around 15 new clients a month for estate planning, which hits her goals at an average fee of $4,000 each. And a single, you know, so you can't serve 15 clients a month with truly impactful, meaningful estate planning services that you're charging and commanding $4,000 for without a team in place. And if you've never learned how to manage a team, then that's going to be a learning curve for you and a place that you're going to need to grow in order to get to the next level. And she wants to go to the next level. She's ready to go to a million next year, and that will require her to start bringing on other attorneys. So you got to be really clear about where you are. If she would have started focusing on hiring a team and managing her financials right from the beginning, she wouldn't be where she is right now. Where did she need to start? She needed to start by learning how to engage clients in a new way, then learning how to educate her community. Once she got that down, she could get that steady stream of clients coming in. Then she invested in technology to streamline and make everything really efficient in terms of being able to communicate with her community and follow up and, you know, not just do a great talk, but actually have people come in and hire her. And then it's team. And then now, you know, she's at the point of saying, okay, now I really need to learn how to manage the money part of all of this.
So there's absolutely a variety of different roadblocks that occur for practices. So for example, the roadblocks that you hit to get your first 100,000 are not the same roadblocks that exist to go from six figures to multi-six figures. And from multi-six figures to seven figures is a whole nother series of roadblocks and scaling strategies that create those operational and organizational inefficiencies. So as Ali said, that's one strategy for that particular revenue mark at the multi-six figure mark. It doesn't matter where you are, these things exist. And I really encourage everyone who's listening to take a really close eye and maybe a microscope under those facets of your practice. And if you think you have a deficiency, go back and listen to whatever that your deficiency might be, as we've already probably covered it on a previous episode. So that leads us to number five, and that is shiny object syndrome. Oh my gosh. And I'm so guilty of this. I've been guilty of this for the longest time, and I continually work on it. What is shiny object syndrome? Shiny object syndrome is essentially that idea of, like, you start an idea, maybe you're implementing a particular marketing strategy, and you're going down that rabbit hole, and you're getting excited about it, and you're getting further close to towards implementation, and then you heard somebody mention that there was another idea, or there was something else, or there was this cool new Facebook strategy, or maybe there's other direct mail strategy, whatever it may be, and then you're like, you abandon what you've just, you know, been 80 or 90% of the way towards completion, and then you go and do that new thing, even if it's not proven, it hasn't been tried or tested, and you're uncertain of the results that it might yield. We see this all the time. And so when someone comes to us and they're like, you know, we've listened to the podcast, we've seen you, you know, speak, or whatever it may be, and they come in and I've tried direct mail and I've tried Facebook ads, I've tried Google ads, and I've tried all of these things, and none of them work for my law firm because my law firm is different. No, your law firm is not. Your law firm is different because the person who's actually running the law firm is not sticking with any idea or concept long enough to actually get it adequately implemented in order to actually have success with it. And so that's a little bit of tough love, but when it comes to the idea of, like, well, I've tried all of the marketing things in the world and none of them work because my practice is different, that's not really the case. Usually that stems back to an operational inefficiency with that leader in particular, who has shiny object syndrome and runs from one nut to another, always thinking that it's going to be a bigger or better, or always running to that next best thing, instead of being diligent and being unemotional with whatever that marketing strategy or outcome may be, and focusing on what is tried and true and proven and tested. So for example, Ali, if you're an estate planning attorney, Ali has a tried and true tested plan method that actually works if you're an estate planning attorney. It works. It's tried and true. It's tested. That's great. Stick with something along those lines instead of going down a different rabbit hole. And our side, we consult and tailor solutions depending on the business of stuff that actually works, instead of just being like that fly-by-night tactic that you probably saw on Instagram or Facebook or whatever else, instead of actually finding something that works specifically for you and your practice. So what I really encourage all of our people and all of our listeners to actually realize is that when you hear that really awesome, cool new idea and you think it's going to be the game changer, end all be all, that's going to make leads rain from the sky, and you're going to literally be like Richie Rich diving into money, that stuff doesn't really work. That's the promise that is sold. But if you've been in practice for any period of time, you know that's not the reality. So I would encourage you to take that unemotional step back from shiny object syndrome and look at the reality of what's going on and focus on what's working. Double down on those things. Put your blinders on if necessary and just focus on the stuff that works for you in your practice.
Yeah, absolutely. And that comes from the clarity of being really intentional about what it is that you want from your practice, knowing where you are now, where you want to go next, and then getting the guidance and support that you need to make the wise decisions using proven and tested methods, like we've talked about here throughout the show, rather than making your decisions from a place of emotion, you make them from logic and intention.
So if you want to learn more about the five reasons why many law practices plateau, we've got a little report together for you. It's at ultimateattorney.com/the-5, FIVE-reasons. And there's just a short little video, a short little report that gives you the overview of what these things and what to look out for. Highly recommend. It's a short little download that I really recommend. Other than that, I think that these five things, if you can avoid them inside of your practice, could literally shortcut the time that it takes for you to achieve your goals. And these individual things may in and of themselves be that landmine that you've stepped on and now you're not sure which step to go or where to go next. So I think it's a really good roadmap of what to look out for, and using the rest of the episodes we've already covered so far in the Ultimate Attorney Podcast to really use as that roadmap to really achieve your goals as an attorney.
Fantastic. And we really look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Ultimate Attorney Podcast.
We'll see you there. Hey there, Dre Redfern here, and we appreciate you listening to this week's episode of the Ultimate Attorney Podcast. Now, before you go, I have three quick things for you. Number one, if you're not already receiving our free premium content, then go to ultimateattorneypodcast.com and register on the right-hand column to receive all of our best free resources. Now, when you do, we'll send you access to our next level law firm boot camp, which is a 7-day video series to help you reduce the stress of running your law firm, create more revenue predictability, and sell your services with greater ease, and it's all completely free. All you have to do is visit ultimateattorneypodcast.com and register on the right-hand side. The second thing that I have for you is that Ultimate Attorney is going to be hosting a live 2-day event in Dallas, Texas on May 2nd and 3rd, and I would love to see you there. During these 2 days, we're going to walk you through our 6-part process to help you level up to create a 7-figure law firm and show you how you can radically scale your law firm to meet your goals. We're also giving away more than $2,000 worth of free templates, resources, and implementation plans to help you level up your law firm from the moment you leave the event. You're going to love it, and I would love to see you there. So for more information and to register, simply visit ultimateattorneylive.com. Number three, and finally, we don't monetize this podcast with ads or sponsors. So the best compliment that you could give us would be to rate us 5 stars on iTunes. And when you do, you'll be entered into our monthly drawing to receive one of our 3 courses that Ali and I offer that are valued between $1,000 and $3,000. So don't miss out on that opportunity, and we would greatly appreciate your share and your 5-star review. So that's all for now. Thank you again for listening to the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, and we'll see you on next week's episode.